This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Today we are talking to the extremely sporty couple, Claire and Pete North. Claire is a blind athlete who has competed in multiple strongmen, bodybuilding competitions, has trained people herself, and has done a huge range of different sports. And Pete is her husband, who is also an avid sports person and is also her trainer. Hi Claire and Pete, thanks so much for joining us. So Claire, we spoke to you a few years ago about doing strongman competitions, and since then you've done many other challenges and you've also had a baby. Let's take it back to the beginning of your relationship. How did you both meet?
It sounds almost embarrassing to say, but we met through Facebook. Admittedly, at the time I wasn't necessarily looking for anything like that. At that point in time, I was performing in bodybuilding, which meant that my profile did contain quite a few images of me looking very shiny, muscly in bikinis. So as you can probably appreciate, I got a reasonable amount of attention from people that I didn't necessarily want attention from. So usually if I got messages, I would tend to ignore. But there was something about the message from Pete North that just stood out, mainly the politeness, the genuine questions about my training regime and about my disability, my sight loss, kind of inspired me to engage. And we literally, I think we spoke online for a couple of weeks, then we spoke on the phone, and not to be too cringe, but when I spoke to my mum, I said, I think I've just spoken to the one. We dated long distance for about 6 months because he lived in Manchester and I'm in Leicestershire. And then the pandemic occurred. And I think this really demonstrated how strong we both were as a couple, because Pete literally dropped everything and just came straight down to me. He knew full well with my sight loss that there was going to be no way I could move up to Manchester and adapt up there. So he just dropped everything and came down to live with me. And that was pretty much the beginning of us.
Wow, I mean, that's such a unique story. And was it that connection to sort of fitness and exercise that really drew you together at the beginning and made the message stand out?
Definitely. I think when you're really passionate about something, you know, at that point I moved on to strength training and doing strongman competitions as well. And to have someone who actually understood and knew what you were doing, appreciated what you're doing, not necessarily his thing, because Pete has loads of different strings to his bow in the world of what he does for training. But to have someone who's genuinely interested and wants to talk about it is like the best thing ever. And then to add to that, someone who's actually noticed that you are, you know, blind and actually read your posts, because more often than not, people just look at a photo and they don't, you know, I always try to put context in my posts about my disability and my training, but 99% of the time people hadn't noticed or read anything, so they didn't realize that I was blind. So to have someone who's actually taken all that in as well, it was really nice and refreshing.
There was no expectation of anything necessarily coming out of it. There was no motive behind it. There was no kind of way, and it was more I was just impressed, and I just felt I needed to say something.
Yeah, it sounds just like a lovely way to meet each other, and that you felt very seen, Claire, and very appreciated by him, when it sounds like a lot of the messages you were getting before didn't make you feel that way. How did you connect in the first days of long distance? Would you kind of remotely work out with each other in some ways?
I mean, we discussed it. I mean, I was in the gym quite regularly when Pete would be messaging me, so he'd always be asking me about what I was training that day and what I was working towards. And I remember he supported me virtually through my first strongman competition. Unfortunately, he was unable to come down the weekend that it was on, but, you know, I felt like he was there. He was the person that spoke to me in the morning and kind of tried to get my head in the right space. At first, it was just talking about training, and then he's always tried to kind of encourage me to do some of the training that he does. And it was only when we got to the pandemic stage where all the gyms shut and we made our own gym training kind of area that I started to learn from him more as a coach, as well as having him as my partner, which, you know, again, it's a difficult relationship, because, you know, part of you wants to just be the girlfriend and the other part you have to be a student and actually pay attention. He'll probably say I was quite a difficult student at times. My previous coach was is one of the world's strongest men, and he was, you know, he was fantastic for the strength side of things. And my other coach did functional fitness and, you know, the training towards the bodybuilding and actually stripping down and getting things in shape to perform on stage. So it was, you know, always very different. But I also always had a very big crowbar between them being my coach. They'd be my friend, but that would be it. So having someone who you love as a training partner is both brilliant and, you know, tricky at times.
I mean, it can be difficult to train someone that the best of times, even if they're not friends, even if they're just a normal client, but when they're friends, and especially if they come from a training background, because Claire was, she's from a different training background than to me and to what I've trained most of my clients for. So it was just very interesting to compare and contrast styles, to go through ideas, and I would introduce something new to her, and then she would try it and say that she disagreed with it, or she vice versa, she'd agree with it. So we ended up just trying little things, and then it evolved into I'd show her things, and then I'd send her some workouts each week that revolved around different fitness challenges that you can measure your own performance, because Claire's very interested in performance related side of it, what numbers she can get on things, what scores she can get on things. So I used to sort of tailor what I sent her so that she could measure it, and then sort of do the workout again if she wanted and see if she could beat herself. Yeah, it was always very interesting to try and get new ideas. When your relationship is, you got a friendship with someone and you both listen to each other and you both understand some of what you're doing, it's easier to connect. So it really helped that Claire was from the same kind of space, but a different part of that, if that makes sense. So both fitness related. So we had a really good chance to experiment, and it was just fun to experiment with her and to have fun trying new things, introducing her to new things. She'd introduce me to things, like she wrote me a diet plan, for example. So that everything really developed with that.
I suppose, like you say, there's normally kind of the separation between when you turn up to sessions and your life, but you see each other living normal life, maybe eating things or doing activities that don't necessarily align or work towards your fitness goals. Have you set boundaries for each other about when you do and don't talk about training, or is it money cross?
I'd say it's pretty fluid. We do have to egg each other on sometimes. You know, at the moment, I did a rowing marathon for my 40th birthday, which was 6 months after giving birth. So Pete coached me through all of that. And he's currently training to do a ski erg marathon on his birthday. So I'm kind of supporting him through that. And because we have an almost 3-year-old and a now 9-month-old, there's a lot of discussion in the morning about, right, what do you need to do today? What can I do to help you get in the gym and get that done? So we do have to really encourage and support. And then, of course, if you've had a night where they've both been up and down all night, we've had no sleep, you know, it's very easy to just say, oh, I can't be bothered. So we're usually both of us aren't in that state. So the one that's got a bit more energy tries to boost the other one up and encourage them and keep them motivated and get them in the gym. Because we know fundamentally, once you've got in there and done your session, you'll feel 100 times better.
Yeah, I mean, on the coaching side of it, I don't treat her any different from any other kind of high-performing client that I've had. If Claire wants to reach a goal and I tell her what to do and what the workouts are, I challenge her to be at the same standards, and I hold her to what she's done. I tell her the right way to do something, and if she's not doing it, I'll tell her. For example, she was doing a pull-up variation, and she was counting out 5 seconds, and I timed it, and I watched how she was counting, and it wasn't being counted right, so I then stopped her and told her how to do it again. So it's just, I hold her to the same standards, but I also balance that with, obviously, I'm her husband as well. So I balance that with watching out for her, looking after her mental health, advising her on diet, and just being there for her. And yeah, it's just knowing when the coach role, in terms of pushing them on to what their goal is, stops, and then you jump in as the husband. And that's how I kind of judge it, that once the workout's finished, we do a debrief, and then I'm as supportive as possible, because in that space, it's not about me. It's just all about Claire's goals.
You've reached a lot of big goals with each other's support and help. And as you say, not only are you balancing each other's childcare schedules, but you've also got different fitness goals you'll be working towards at the same time. How has that changed your relationship to each other, figuring out how to fairly split childcare?
It's worked out really well. And if anything, it makes us closer. I mean, I think a lot of couples might want to go out for a meal together and have a date night. And, you know, whereas if we're given any time where we have no kids, our number one thing is we love getting in the gym and having a training session together, because that's something that sometimes rarely happens. So it's fantastic even if we're both just on a piece of kit where we're doing some endurance work and you can literally head down and sweating, it's just lovely having that person there with you. But we also work as motivation. For example, this Thursday, Pete has to hit a key number on his marathon training, and I'm just going to forego going in the gym, and I'm going to take over childcare on my lunch breaks and around the grandparents' support and do my job, obviously, because I also work full time, and allow him the time to go in and smash that distance out. and it's all about compromise. And I think it has helped us, because everyone would know that just being a parent alone with a partner is compromise. You know, having kids doesn't necessarily bring you closer together, but if you can ride it out, it will make you stronger. You know, it's a big challenge. We find that if we work together, we can support each other. And I think we've definitely grown a lot closer.
And what is one of your fondest memories together, either kind of in the gym, fitness related, or outside of the gym?
I think when we first set up the carport gym in what we call the apocalypse, but the pandemic. So I was in a different house initially, and it had an open air carport. And we set up a little gym with pretty good kit, but not anything compared to what we have now. And we set up what we called the box of pain. And that just had a number of different exercises written on little bits of paper. And I'd pick them out because I can't see every day, five different things. And then Pete would lay them out. And then every single day we'd do a workout. And it was usually in the sunshine. But yeah, so I think that's probably one of my fondest training memories.
It was really fun. It kept everything fresh. We had a really good laugh with it. There was no, oh, can we put something else in a different place? Or I don't like this. Or we did that yesterday. Or that sounds like it might be a bit too painful. It was just whatever came out. We did. It was great. It really sort of challenged us to. So we had fun working together and putting our imaginations together and just designing these really fun workouts that we had no control over. And then it got competitive. We'd sort of bounce off each other and then we'd push each other. And in some of them, we'd flat out compete and try to beat each other. So it was really, really fun. Yeah. It was always a kind of a playful thing. And we'd do things like taking turns to design a workout and then doing the workout and not telling each other what score we'd got until we'd both done the workout. So there's always been that competitive side about things, but I'm someone that can just turn up and just, if I want to, just win at something and then I don't do it for ages, if you get what I mean. And I think that's always bounced off because that pushes her. So me being very much there to do my best has pushed Claire. So there is also that relationship.
And we've talked a lot about the kind of many different challenges you've taken on together and the different aesthetic or functional focuses you've had over time. And sometimes people can struggle a bit with their body image when they kind of see or feel their bodies changing and that focus shifts in a different way. And obviously you both kind of connected over bodybuilding, which is a very specific aesthetic and regime. How do you both kind of support each other through those physique changes? And I guess, Claire, especially thinking for you, dealing with those changes, having Pete as your coach, so pushing you to meet different goals and also being your romantic partner.
You know, the reason that most men and women were contacting me was because I looked a certain way. But the fact is, I looked that certain way for one photo shoot for, you know, half a day. As anyone who does bodybuilding or has done it would know that, you know, stage ready appearance is quite the challenge, takes a very long time, and your body is in a complete state of depletion. So it's not a state that people would ever stay in for a prolonged period of time. So yeah, and then like I said, I then focus more on strongman strength training, and now I've gone into strength endurance and resistance training with the rowing and ski erg and that type of thing. Which means I'm still incredibly fit, but yeah, I don't have the same physique. And yeah, I was concerned that Pete might think, oh, she looked like this in the pictures. This is, you know, false advertising. But I did also post many genuine pictures of me training and sweating away. You know, most of my pictures, because I'm blind, I don't really care. I just show the movements. I don't really care if people think I look awful, because I'm actually talking about the movement and what I'm doing, not what I look like. And Pete has just been an absolute rock. He has seen me through being unable to comfortably eat anything because I was in a bit of a state after bodybuilding, to the point where he's seen me through two pregnancies where I got massively, wonderfully large, trained all the way through both of them, but, you know, happy and comfortable. And he loved my body all the way through those, in between both of those. He has never made me feel like I should have any doubt that he doesn't think I'm lovely and gorgeous. So I'm a very lucky person. I'm constantly reassured. I mean, if I wanted to get ripped and go down that route again, I know he would support me. But right now, we just love the fact that we can do an endurance workout and then smash a tray of Dunkin' Donuts. So it's a life kind of balance. I also would much rather my daughter and my son saw a healthy, happy mum who loved training and not one that said, oh no, I can't eat that or I can't do that. because I'll get fat. You know, that is not a way I want my kids to think.
I think it's just sort of remembering where things like the fun stops and starts, and remembering what you're doing it for, and the purpose of why you're there. I mean, the training's supposed to enrich you and add something to your life and not necessarily be absolutely everything. And there's also remembering that as much as Claire loves these things, as much as I enjoy these things, none of us are professional athletes, and we're not doing these things because we're not in jobs where our lives depend on our fitness. So there's no, we're not emergency services, we're not being paid millions to make movies, things like that. So there's no need to put that stress on ourselves where our diet has to be perfect or our bodies have to look a certain way. So it's remembering all of the boundaries and where the fun stops and starts, and just reminding her that she's doing very well, and that the things that she's doing are measurable, and she's competing against other people, and she's still making those numbers. And that's where the fun is. It's in doing it. And bodies will change. There'll be periods where we don't train as much. There'll be periods where we diet better. There'll be periods where we don't do any of those things. But things change. So it's just remembering the boundaries and the purpose of why we're doing it, and not putting that pressure on ourselves. And it's about health and enjoyment and more of our well-being than anything else.
And for people who are blind and partially sighted who are maybe getting a new trainer or considering working with a trainer for the first time, do you have any tips on a good setup or helpful things that you've learned to work well with your trainers?
I would highly recommend, if you're interested in going in the gym, and you know, I know it can be expensive, but if you can get a coach or someone to train with you, I would highly recommend it, even just to start with, so that you get the basics and, you know, you get familiar with the gym. You have to be open. As a blind person or a partially sighted person, you may require some more physical assistance than a sighted person might require in demonstrating movements. So you need to find someone you can be comfortable with. That's why I said, you know, my previous coaches were definitely friends. I felt very comfortable with them. Do your research as well, because I think a lot of people assume that they can't do things. And I mean, it's one thing that Pete has brought to my world is, you know, I currently am hoping to compete in the indoor rowing championships, and he found apps that I can put on my phone which make everything completely accessible for me. I used to not be able to keep track of my pace or my distance, my time, whereas now it's all on my headphones. It doesn't cut out music, so I can have music and my headphones, so you get your updates, and it just makes it fully accessible. So don't assume that you can't, and just go and have a go. It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. You don't have to go and run 5K. I love picking heavy things up. It's a great thing for blind people to do because they don't move anywhere. So once you put them down, they pretty much stay in the same place until you pick them up again. So just, you know, have fun.
Pete, do you have any advice after working with Claire on a variety of different challenges for other trainers who are working with blind and partially sighted sports people?
Yeah, I'd say sort of two things that feed off each other specifically is education and confidence. It helps that Claire already had a background in fitness, so that I, quite a lot of the time, didn't have to explain different exercises to her, how to do things, what pieces of equipment she'd need, and all these different things. And that's something that I've seen can really help if you do that in a wider sense. So I think if there was that level of education in, for example, just normal gyms, if there was a section of time where, for example, visually impaired individuals or anybody else with any other kind of disability that wanted to go into a gym could learn the exercises, could learn how to do it, almost train themselves and become confident, if there was a safe space for them to do that, I think that would bring the confidence for them to further get interested in what they're doing and to further exercise. So that there is that real educational gap, I feel, for allowing that safe space to just teach and develop in that sense. That's one thing that I think would really help.
And your kids must see both of you working out a lot in your home gym and be around for lots of the sports stuff that you do. Is your three-year-old getting into sports and kind of cheering you on as you do things?
Both of them spend a lot of time in our gym, in our garage, because they love it. They think it's an obstacle course. There's just, you know, climbing over sandbags and stuff. And Beatrix can now do a full pull-up all by herself. She does body weight, because I'm currently doing 50 pull-ups a day, so we have a pull-up bar in the garden, so she watches mum go up and down. I think she's going to be a bit shocked when she finds out that not all mums do the things that her mum does, but she loves cheering us on. Like, she'll come and shout, and she'll be like, faster, faster. You know, she's quite a strict coach.
Don't want to let down the head honcho.
The angry little coach. No, not at all.
Well, thank you so much, Claire and Pete North, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio. And we wish you the best for whichever brilliant sports challenge you take on next.
Good company on RNIB Connect Radio.